You're listening to a Clare FM podcast. Morning Focus broadcasts weekdays from 9am to 12 midday.
My next guest is an award-winning British-Turkish novelist and indeed the most widely read female author in Turkey. She writes in both Turkish and English, has published 17 books and they've been translated into a total of 50 languages. She's a political scientist and influential thinker, and at the start of March she will be joining us here in Ennis for one of the highlight events of the 2019 Ennis Book Club Festival. Elif Shafak will be in conversation with Sean Rocks on stage at Glore on Saturday the 2nd of March, and as I say, she's on the line now. Elif, good morning and thank you for joining us.
Good morning, thank you.
It's quite a resume you have, and I've only touched on it a little bit, but you are a very influential thinker in terms of, in particular, your native Turkey, despite being based in Britain, which is quite a paradox, I would have thought, between two countries, because, as you will know better than I, a lot of conversation around Turkey in the run-up to the Brexit referendum, almost demonising Turkey and plans to join the EU at that stage, and yet there you are in Britain, which for a political thinker must give you a lot of food for thought, I would have thought.
That is right, and to be honest, it was quite sad for me to observe this climate of fear that the Leave campaign has stoked during the referendum, before the referendum. I never forget those signs saying that 77 million Turks are coming to England, to the UK, and because Turkey is about to join the EU. And everyone knew that was a lie, that was an illusion, and yet they kept repeating that illusion. Turkey is not joining the EU anytime soon. We have major problems, and we can talk about those. And even if it joins the EU in the long run, that kind of mobility will always be controlled. And it's not like millions of Turks are waiting to come. But that was the impression that was created, and the kind of fear that was stoked was very sad for me.
On a personal level, did it not make you feel uncomfortable in your home, in your home country?
I have come to this country almost a decade ago now, if not more, and I've always felt very free as a writer. For me, freedom of speech is incredibly important. I know for some people this sounds like a cliche, but to me it is very important to understand the importance of diversity. So London and the United Kingdom in general, with its multicultural nature, spoke to my heart. I find these values incredibly important, but also because I come from a country that has lost its diversity, and by losing that, we have lost a lot in Turkey. So this happening today here makes me sad. I think liberal democracy in general is in danger, in general around the world, but even in those countries where we thought we wouldn't have these discussions today, I think we have to understand that faith in democracy is diminishing, and this will have very negative consequences for all of us as global citizens.
What do you put that down to? I mean, if democracy has been heralded for much of the 20th century as the ideal political system, why is it so weak now in this, the 21st century?
I think we need to be careful about not attributing it to a single cause, because it's much more complicated than that. And we should also be very honest about the mistakes that were made over the decades, because this wasn't, you know, in the coming. This was boiling, brewing much before. We need to talk about inequality, and we need to be very honest about this. Economic inequality, political inequality, but also we need to talk about emotions, because lots of the issues that we're experiencing today are related to emotions and perceptions, our cultural anxieties, economic anxieties. Many people are worried whether their children will have the same chances that they had. Many people are worried also. I'm an immigrant myself, and I do understand to a certain extent worries about immigration. So we need to be able to talk about all these issues honestly, openly. But we also need to understand that populism, tribalism, nationalism is not the answer. They will only make things worse.
I don't know how acquainted you are with the system here in Ireland, but in listening to your thoughts, I'm struck by how some of what has happened abroad has yet to happen here. We have seen in many European countries the rise of far-right parties, UKIP, yeah. Alternative for Deutschland, plenty more. We haven't seen that yet in Ireland, and I'm wondering, when you talk about how there isn't any single cause, if it is possible for countries to learn from mistakes that have been made elsewhere. And I'm not trying to suppress political thinking in any way, but rather if we have seen the destabilising effect that can happen, what actions governments in countries like Ireland should be taking, I wonder.
I think memory is an important thing. Coming from Turkey, I always thought Turkey is a country of collective amnesia, and that's a big paradox because it's a country with a rich history but no memory of that history. Ireland is very different. I think it's a country with a strong memory, and memory is important. There was an interesting survey recently on both sides of the Atlantic. Researchers asked people, how important is it for you to live in a democracy? And interestingly, people above a certain age who had very vivid memories of either the war or times of conflict or had heard these things from their parents, overwhelmingly they said, it is very important for me to live in a democracy. And among millennials in that survey, that percentage dropped dramatically. Mm. And the conclusions that the researchers drew was, memory makes a huge difference, whether we have experienced things firsthand or we have been acquainted with people who have experienced things with firsthand. But if we have a memory of where nationalism, tribalism will take humanity, then we approach liberal democracy in a very different way, and we understand its importance. But if we have no memory of that, then we take it for granted, and it doesn't really matter whether we live in a democracy or not. And that threshold is one that I find dangerous.
Your native Turkey is in a really interesting geographical place, as of course there's the bridge between East and West, and in a political sense a very interesting place in recent times, although maybe that's an inappropriate word speaking to somebody who would in your own situation who would feel it much more than us as outside observers. We had the attempted coup against President Erdogan that was quickly stamped out, and a lot of controls, a crackdown on the freedom of press and more. What's your assessment of Turkey at the moment?
It just breaks my heart, to be honest, and it's getting worse in so many ways. Once upon a time, Turkey was regarded as maybe not a role model, but it gave hope to many people all across the Muslim world, because it seemed like this was the one country where a Muslim majority population embraced secularism, liberal democracy, and was very ready to integrate with the Western world. That was the perception maybe 10 years ago. And things have changed a lot. Turkey has been going backwards, first gradually, but then with a bewildering speed. And today we have a country where the civil society is crushed. You know, journalism is the most difficult profession in Turkey. But every journalist, writer, poet or academic in Turkey knows that because of something you say in an interview, in a poem, in an article, or even a tweet or a retweet, you can get into trouble so easily. You can be sued, arrested, called a traitor. So there is no freedom of speech. There's no room for that. And if I may add this, I think it's very important. We always had elections in Turkey. Elections in itself is not enough to render a system a democracy. If you don't have rule of law, separation of powers, a free media, an independent academia, women's rights, LGBT rights, minority rights, if you don't have any of those, but only have the ballot box, you end up with majoritarianism, the rule of majority, and from majoritarianism into authoritarianism, it's a very swift decline. Mm. So for me, it's incredibly important to emphasize how important it is for a democracy to have checks and balances and the free media.
And yes, there's many Western countries that would feel they have that, and yet some of those systems haven't been enough to stop issues arising, to stop some of those ideals from crumbling, as we've already discussed. We know about the crackdown from the Erdogan regime. I know you're out of the country, but would you, even again in a personal sense, would you have fears in terms of what may happen? Or maybe fears are too strong of a term, but I can't imagine that he would be overly enamoured with your thoughts and with your writing, I would suggest.
I think it's tough for anyone who deals with words, because words are heavy in Turkey. One of my earlier novels, and I had a taste of this earlier, that's why I want to mention this. One of my earlier novels is called The Bastard of Istanbul. Mm. And it talks about the Armenian genocide, which is a big taboo in Turkey. It tells the story of two families, one Turkish and one Armenian American. And it deals with this issue of memory and amnesia. After that novel was published, I was sued. I was prosecuted under Article 301. I was accused of insulting Turkishness, even though nobody knows what that means. It could mean anything. And then, because this is a novel, the words of my fictional characters were plucked out of the text and used as evidence in the courtroom. So it was quite surreal, because my Turkish lawyer had to defend my Armenian fictional characters in the courtroom.
Wow.
And in the end, of course, I was acquitted, but for a year I had to live with a bodyguard. And then you ask yourself, you know, how can this happen?
Why doesn't it deter you from speaking out? Why has it not deterred you from speaking?
I think it did affect me in so many ways. So I'm not saying that it had no impact. However, I have seen two sides of my motherland, and I've never forgotten that distinction. We need to understand that the government and the people are not the same thing, especially when we analyze countries like Turkey. Usually the people are ahead of their governments, but that's the sad paradox. They're also silenced by those governments. So while that was happening, the book, the same novel, was read by so many readers, mostly women. And those women, if they like a novel, they pass it on. They give it. They give the same book to their friends or to their sisters. They send it to a relative in another city. So the same book is read by, on average, 5 to 6 people, underlining different sentences. Paradoxically, in countries where there is no freedom of speech, books matter, stories matter, and words do connect people. So I've seen that side of the society as well. And for that, I feel very grateful to fiction readers who continue to read and share books despite the odds.
Very good. You will be in Ennis at the start of March, as I have already said. We can but scratch on the surface of some of these issues this morning. But is more of the same what we can expect in a couple of weeks' time?
I'm truly looking forward to this visit, and I see lots of similarities, and particularly the women, the energy, the minorities. You know, in Ireland, huge social transformations have happened. I think we all around the world have a lot to learn, but also it's very close. The place is very close to my heart, because it's a place where I think novels are important, and the art of storytelling, not only written culture, but oral culture, is also very rich and important, and maybe transferred from grandmothers to granddaughters. So all of that is very close to my heart, and I'm really looking forward to this visit.
Very interesting you say that. Just before we recorded this interview, we had a piece with a local historian about oral history and an oral history project, which kind of emphasises the point. So we are doing it in practice, what you perceive from the outside, and I have no doubt but that when you come to Clare in March, that you will see those book fans that you have talked about. And I hope that your event as part of the Ennis Book Club Festival is a wonderful success. Elif Shafak, pleasure speaking with you, and thanks for joining us this morning.
You're listening to a Clare FM podcast. Morning Focus broadcasts weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 midday.